you, Bill.
Good song. Keep that sheet out. Thank you so much, Bill and Miriam, for willing to just kind of put yourselves out there and work hard on that. We all appreciate it. If you look at the chorus, and if you were to walk through the book of Ruth, the chorus really just goes right through the whole book. God starts by being faithful, even though his children are not faithful. They leave him. And then he lifts them up. He lifts Naomi up. He lifts Ruth up. He upholds their cause. They don't even know what they're going to do, but God upgirds them. He gives them life. And you think about Naomi, she finally has an heir to her family name. You dry my eyes. She goes from someone who is bitter to someone who's rejoicing in the Lord. Naomi does. Why? Because we serve a faithful God. So that is why we are choosing that one to sing through. And I hope that the more we get to know the book of Ruth, the more that song will mean to us. So we will be in the first five verses of the first chapter of Ruth today. Verses 1 through 5. So as we said, it is the eighth book of the Bible. And we do have some nice new pew Bibles underneath the seat in front of you if you need one. And I encourage you, bring your own Bible. I know that I put almost all of the scriptures up here on the screen. But mainly that would be for those that don't know their way around the Word of God. Own your scriptures, even if it's on an electronic device. Own the Word of God. Know where it is. Bring your own copy and put notes in it and the different things that God strikes you with throughout the sermon. Just write them in the margins. And I know if you have 1, 2, 3, or 4 kids sitting in your lap, it's a little harder. It really is. In Sunday school, I want to take a lot of notes, but I got one twin on this lap and the other twin on this lap. And if I put any writing instrument in front of them, you know, within a matter of moments, they're grabbing it. So it is harder for some of us. But I encourage you, own your copy of Scripture. Know what it looks like. Know what it feels like. So Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, calling this one not just a family in distress, because it's certainly that. Why are they in distress? It's because they were faithless. They forgot who their God was. They were no longer trusting him. And the consequences are clear. So let us pray again. Ask God for more grace. Oh Lord, do open up the eyes of our heart so we may see wonderful things from your scriptures. Open up the eyes of our mind that we may understand what your Spirit is communicating through your word and that we may apply them. So we hear your word read, so we hear it explained, and as we hear it applied, really the Spirit of God must be with us to give us clarity, to help us know what you want us to change, to help us know what you want us to keep doing by your grace. Would you change our church through the book of Ruth to look more like our Savior, more like our champion, our King, our hero, the Lord Jesus Christ? And may we just know you better, for if we know you better, we will love you more. And if we love you, Scripture tells us that we will obey you. So may we have the right motivations as we come to Scripture. In Jesus' wonderful, holy name, we ask these things. Amen. In this opening chapter, we see one of the characters is Elimelech, and he's with his wife Ruth. And they make some decisions which are not wise. And really, it's just not trusting in God's goodness. Now, often when we make a decision that is not pleasing to the Lord, don't we make the same decision? God, I don't trust that you're good, so I'm going to try to skirt you and try to find my own thing to do. Because you're no longer being good to me. Well, I'd better find a way to make this work. Because you're not working on my behalf anymore. Maybe it's not on the scale that they are, where they are moving to a completely different country to escape God's will, like Jonah. We complain about our job, do we not? Complain about our spouse, if we have one, or our family in general. The family that God has given us, or maybe even the lack of a family that God has given us. Why do they have that number and I do not, kind of thing? We fantasize about greener pastures. If I only had that job, kind of thing. And while it's not wrong to have biblical desires and motives, If we're complaining, then we are falling along the lines of Elimelech and Naomi, who left the Lord's will, really because they didn't trust His goodness, didn't trust His sovereignty, His greatness. Maybe you're like me and you have to confess that there's times in your life you've turned your back on God's way and left His will. You've just gone down that path and you've done it purposefully. I just don't believe right now that you're good. So what else am I supposed to do? I got to try my own path. It's just too difficult, Lord. Elimelech and his family, they do this clearly, going from Israel to Moab, which is not something they were to do. They weren't missionaries. They were leaving the Lord's will. But Ruth teaches us, and this is so encouraging, that God's grace extends to those who have rebelled against Him and pursued forbidden paths. Isn't that what they did? Does God give up on Naomi? A woman who claims, "I am bitter, and call me bitter. It's my new handle. It's my new nickname." And God does not give up on her. The truth of the matter is that no matter what we have done or how long we have done it, there is forgiveness and there is hope. And that's the bottom line. And to not believe that is to not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only reason for this hope is what we were just singing. We have a faithful God who will not leave us. He is committed to save for Himself a people and to continue to grow them until He returns or we go to Him. Read you one quote before we jump into the reading of the text this morning. There's a great commentary, smaller commentary by a man named Ian Duguid. Isn't that a great commentator's last name? Name is just Duguid. How can that not be a good commentary? I really get what he's saying here because he's spot on. He gets the whole point of the passage and sums it up for us. God does not seek out His children by searching for perfect paragons of virtue. It's not that God is waiting until you're perfect and then He'll start to seek you out. But rather, by reaching down to rebellious sinners and transforming them from the inside out. We see Ruth, her heart regenerated and brought into the kingdom. And really more importantly, we see Naomi turn from someone who is bitter to someone who rejoices in the Lord, as God is faithful to her. So that's all of us today. Either you are a child of God, seeking out to remember that He is faithful to us moment by moment, or you are an unbeliever who's saying, "Well, is He even faithful? Is He worthy of this worship and all that you are saying I need to commit to?" Well, yes, He is. And the book of Ruth proves it. How can you not worship a God that does things like this as we read through these first four chapters, the only four chapters? So please read along with me, starting in verse 1. We did cover verse 1 last week, but let's just read through it for the flow of the passage. In the days when the judges ruled, so the book of Judges, people like Samson and Gideon, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem, the same Bethlehem that David was born in our Savior Jesus Christ, in Judah, he went to sojourn. He went to live elsewhere in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. Now let's see the names of the characters of this divine drama, right? The name of the man was Elimelech. Now this is a good name. It means my God is king, or simply God is king. It's like a missionary, just by saying your name, you're discipling and giving the gospel. And the name of his wife was Naomi. It means pleasant one. And the names of his two sons, now we don't know exactly what they mean. Some people would say this is obviously saying that they were born in a very depressed and wicked time, because their names mean something like God is no longer good, or He's left us, or things like that. Now I don't know for sure, because they're not exactly Hebrew names. But I think that's what it's communicating. So Mahlon and Chilion, they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. So they were direct descendants of some of the major founders of the children of Israel after the Exodus. Now, before we go on to the next verse, this is a map we put up last week, and let's just be reminded where we are. They grew up here in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means, you know, house of bread, a very fertile place. All kinds of grain and olives and grapes would grow in abundance. But what was going on right now in Bethlehem? Ironic, right? There's a famine going on in the house of bread. Now we see them move from here all the way to Moab. Now people, this is a major move. Now if you were to look at this on one of those globes that we have, it would only be like a half inch, right? You're like, well, what's the big deal? Well, remember how they're traveling and how you would get there and how dangerous a trip this would be. And the Moabites, these were the enemies of God's people. We don't know for sure, but they may have even been ruling over Judah at this time. Because we know that the Moabites did 13 to 18 years. They ruled over them. These are enemies of God, and they're saying, we're going to move and we're going to be with them. A major life change. We have a friend when we lived and served in Northern Virginia named Daryl Peters, and he was a government contractor in Northern Virginia. But in the downturn of the economy, you know, the Great Recession, he no longer had a job because a lot of the government shrinked up. He decided to get a job in Saudi Arabia. Hey, this is a believer. You can be put in prison. You can die. They will put you to death for giving the gospel. Is that a major move to go from Virginia, Saudi Arabia? Well, keep that in mind because that is what we're talking about here. You're moving from this spot to this spot, and it is a major move, and it's not a good move, people. They're moving outside of what the Lord would have them to do. Continue reading, please. Second part of verse 2. They went into the country of Moab, and they remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, he died. And many of us have read over this story a few times. Let's just not skip over that. He's dead. Some of you have lost a spouse. You know how difficult it is, lost someone very close to you. Now, what if you depended on them for everything, which that would have been the culture, and then he's gone. He's gone. We don't know how old the sons were. But she does have a little hope. Why? Let's continue reading. And she was left with her two sons. So she had them, one for each arm, you know, holding her up. Now, these young men took Moabite wives. Now, it's hard to know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, or if it's even against Scripture, but we'll try to take a stab at it later on in the message. Now, the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. Now, is that from the beginning when Elimelech first came, or since they married? We don't quite know. But we know that they were there for at least 10 years. And then both of the sons died, so that the woman, particularly Naomi, was left without her two sons and her husband. What if the story ended there? Think about it from one view. Well, you can just kind of say, well, they got what they deserved in terms of God says, stay here and be blessed in the promised land for this group of people. If you leave, well, the curses will come upon you. Don't leave. Can you place yourself in this situation? Can you feel the weight of discouragement and despair? You are in a land all by yourself now in a male-dominated culture. And you have no one to protect you. Now, this is the time of the judges. If it's bad in Israel, what is it like in Moab? What's going on here? And she's lost all protection. So what would you say in your heart? Would you say, God is faithful? One of the great themes of Ruth. God is faithful. Would you say that? I've just lost my spouse and any living relative that was my